We are coming to our time for our sermon now, but before we do invite Andrew to come up and preach to us, we've got the two readings for today.
So first of all, a reading from the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, "In Christ we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way."
The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, and it's verses 20 to 31. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." So that's a tough reading. Andrew, would you like to come up? Let's just pray for Andrew as he brings God's word to us. Thank you, Lord, for Andrew, for his faithfulness, for his love for you, for his passion. And Lord, we pray that as he brings to us the thoughts that you've given him for this word today, that you would not only use these words to bless us, but that you'd also use his words to speak to us, to challenge us, and to mold us more into your likeness. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know about you, but it's a bit of a confusing time of year, isn't it? A few weeks ago, the sun was shining, and I thought, I'll just paint some windowsills. Turn round, the rain came down like nobody's business, and my paint was like a scene from the moon. I've never seen paint like it. This morning, if you were up early, you'd have seen it was all misty and cloudy, and you're thinking, is this lot going to lift or not? And when it does lift, is it going to be a clear day? Is it going to be a bright day? You know, is it just concealed? We've got the clocks being changed. Everybody who here was in the right time, as far as I know. I didn't see anybody here at 10 o'clock who shouldn't have been here. And also, there's a season. You know, is it one of darkness, one of light, or one of remembrance? You know, Halloween is actually All Hallows' Eve. But it's now being taken as being a celebration of darkness or ghoulish things. It has a remembering back to some pagan cultish ideas. Some of the things are going back a long way. But it bears no real resemblance to All Hallows' Eve, known as All Saints' Day. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's actually a public holiday in large parts of Europe. So whether you're in sort of the Protestant sort of Scandinavia, Finland and Sweden, or down in the Catholic countries of Malta, Spain or Italy, it's a public holiday. On Wednesday, we have All Souls' Day. And if you are in certain Catholic countries, you're actually praying for people on what is called purgatory. That's a sort of a midway state between dying and getting to heaven, where you're atoning for your lesser sins. And the idea is that people are praying that their relatives will be raised to the dead. But actually, it's also a time when there's a lot of memorial services. And we have remembrance service here this afternoon, memorial service here. In a week or so's time, we've got the November 11th remembrance. I've been asked to look at All Souls' Day. And I don't know if you're aware that there's actually 16 saints' days today. And I'd never heard of any of them. I looked the list up and I didn't know who they were. But actually, All Hallows means all who are holy. And Paul is clear that all believers who have been sealed with the Holy Spirit are holy. And it doesn't mean those who have died, who have been martyred, but although also means those who are alive. And actually, in this reading here, we get it across, because in verse 15, he says, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints." The love wasn't for people who were dead, it was for people who were alive. In verse 18, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for those who believe." Again, it's about the people who are now alive now, and that we're getting strength from their inheritance, what they've got, what they're showing us. At the end of Ephesians, one of the most famous parts of Paul's writings, it's about putting on the armor of God. And he says in this, "With this in mind, keep on praying for all the saints." It means praying for people around you, because they're part of your protection. Now, yes, All Saints is an opportunity to celebrate and give thanks for all the saints around us and those who have inspired and encouraged our spiritual development. And some of those people who have inspired our spiritual development are no longer with us, but we can remember them. I mean, this church has been very blessed with great people who have been through here. Several of us were here when Peter Adams was here. I mean, he didn't die here, but he had an impact on us. And he's buried just outside that door there. Some people will remember Brian Locke with great affection. People like Roger Parander, Daphne Dufton, Phyllis Day. I could go on. There's lots of people who have been here who have been an encouragement to those of us who are here. And that legacy lives on. And part of that legacy is that we can actually appreciate the abundance of the blessings that we find in this first chapter to Ephesians. You know, it says here, we are chosen before creation. We are holy and blameless in his sight. We've been adopted as his sons. We've been spiritually saved and made whole through Jesus' blood. Our sins are forgiven. God's grace is given to us. We are lavished with wisdom and understanding. We are fulfilling his plans. We are praised for his glory. We were included in Christ when we heard the word of truth. And verses 13 and 14. Having believed, we've been marked by a guaranteeing seal by the Holy Spirit of our inheritance, who are God's possession. And Paul keeps praying this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Something I learnt a long time ago is that the best lecturers are those who know their subject the best. They will talk a very complex thing in a very simple, understanding way. And you think, what's so difficult about this? A few of us here had the fortune of going to hear Lynn Button speak at the Essex Healing Trust a couple of weeks ago. And she spoke in a very simple, straightforward manner. Because she had 40 years of experience. And she was talking out of experience. Now, if we are to, as I've been saying this morning, if we are to engage and share our faith with others, we need to regularly engage with God so that we may know him better, and what we're able to share is simple and easy and understanding, and it's not complicated, but people can understand it. Getting on to our second reading for today, the gospel reading from, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount, it actually is quite a confusing piece of writing, because outwardly it's quite threatening, but there are different levels to this. And it starts quite encouragingly. You know, it says, blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who hunger now, for you'll be satisfied. Blessed are you when blessed when you weep, for you will laugh. Now that's quite encouraging. But then it goes on, woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. Well, in world terms, I'm sorry, we are rich. Woe to you who are well fed. Well, most people have a weight problem. You know, we're not walking skeletons, are we? You know, woe to you who laugh. Well, what's this all about? What's it all about? But actually, Jesus is trying to tell us, show us a picture of how we should live and the hope it brings. Yes, we are poor in spirit. We are poor in spirit because we know that we need God. And the reality is, most people don't know that they need God. And these are the ones who think they're rich. They think they're rich because they don't need anything else. And it says, woe to you who are well fed now. Well, we know we still have a hunger for God. We have a hunger to want more of him. We want to know more. We realize that we're not there yet. We're looking with hunger to find out more about him, to meet him. Yes, we weep. But we weep for those who haven't found Jesus. We weep for those injustices. That's why we weep and have concerns for those who are poor, who have no food. While there are things like food banks, why there's CAP for people trying to help those get out of poverty. Yes, we're not persecuted, thankfully, but that we do feel hurt when parts of our church are damaged or hurt by what people say. And it goes on here, it says, love your enemies. But these are the sort of things that saints do. You love your enemies. You're generous. And do to others as you would have them do to you. To be honest with you, the world just doesn't get it. I'll just tell you something. Believe it or not, every 2 years, as part of my CPD, I'm supposed to do a half-hour study about ethics. And it's quite simple. It's do to others you have done to you. I have to do that. If I haven't done that, I'm in trouble. But it's so simple. The world doesn't need to know ethics. It just need to know what Jesus is saying. Do to others as you would have done do to you. It's quite simple. I think the main thing to remember is that historic saints weren't always saints. They had dodgy lives. They were doing bad things. They were spending their money badly. They were, people like Sir Francis of Assisi. They were not always good people. And, for us, it's not a matter of whether we are good enough, because we never will be good enough. The question really is whether we are willing to be transformed by God. That is the question. Are we willing to be transformed? But there is an important point of remembrance. It's important to remember that Christ had victory over death. And to remember all those blessings which I gave out to you, which is more than in the reading. About being chosen before creation, being adopted as his sons, we are forgiven, we have God's grace, we are lavish with wisdom and understanding, we're fulfilling his plans, we offer his glory, we have his spirit. Yes, we do need to remember, it's very important we give thanks for those Christians who have actually moulded us and helped shape us. But also to remember and give thanks for those around us now, for those here, those who perhaps, who we know, who are a real challenge and encouragement to us. In Hebrews, there's a nice passage. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that was set out before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, most of you, quite a few of you here, are parents. And I'm sure that when your offspring have developed well and met certain stages in life, like gone to the school for the first time, gone to university, got married, whatever it is, you celebrate it. You celebrate what they've done. Like teachers who are here, you celebrate it when your pupils have understood what you're trying to teach them, how much their learning has gone. And so also we celebrate when we see other Christians, other believers, developing and getting on and maturing. Now, for some of us, if we could imagine that Phyllis Day was up there looking down at us, I don't know about you, but I could just see her cheering us on. She would be going ballistic, wouldn't she? She said, come on, Andrew. Come on, Jean. Come on. Try to encourage us to get to the line. She would be cheering us through to God's grace and glory. But if we are to have the full armour of God, we mustn't forget that those conditions which Paul said, we must pray for the saints. In our context here, it means praying for our church leaders. It means praying for those in our fellowship. It means praying for other Christians that we know. It means praying for the likes of people like Chitra who are doing God's work. It's people, members of CYO, Pastor Shiraji, who's leading that translation of the Bible for the Wycliffe Bible translators to the Flame people. also is to love and encourage those we are in contact with in every way, to fill the ministry of God and for them, and so they may reflect more of God's handiwork. Now, this is not a time for autumnal mists over All Saints' Day. We may not have a public holiday, but we are to celebrate light. And one of the things yesterday in Messy Church was, which Julie and Hazel were doing, there were children underneath a blackened out side underneath the altar there, the table there. And the more lights there were, the more light you could see. And what we need to have is lights here all glowing. The more lights that are glowing, the more things are visible, the more people can be seen. And that's what All Saints is about. It's we are the light. We are the light at the moment. And we need to be sure of that. We need to keep that light burning bright. I'd like to just close with a prayer. Eternal God, you know our yesterdays, our todays, and our tomorrows. Thank you for working in the lives of all your saints. Give us faith to engage the world according to your ways, living in hope, in confidence of your saving love. Amen.